Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for being with us today. We ask you to bless our meeting today. We ask you, Lord, to help us to hear your words of warning and draw close to you in these times to come. Thank you for giving us this fast that you gave us. And we just praise you for the wonderful fruit that's going to come from it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to talk to you about something very important. We're calling it a week of fasting for holiness. And by the way, a door is closing. Eve Brass received this. We're going to share with you on February the 25th, 2018. A week of fasting. 3 for the good, 7 for the greater. And on the 8th, there shall be feasting and gladness, so says the Lord. And she said, this is a fast primarily of seclusion and going to a deeper and higher place in the Lord. The first 3 days are fasting for your personal self and local brethren. The last 4 days are for the greater church worldwide. And on the 8th day is to be a celebration with feasting and dancing before the Lord. Even if it's just you in your living room, right? And those who are part of your assembly or whatever. For those who work, you will have to primarily do this in your off time and make sacrifices of free time to spend in seclusion with Him. Not anointing yourself would be no attention to the care of your flesh or regard for the flesh and its comfort. The purposes of this fast is to exercise yourself to focus solely on the Lord and have no care for the flesh, and to, quote, go big or go home, unquote, in the area of your faith. It will take bold faith for some to obey this word, but our Father would not require us to do something that He is not prepared to equip us for. Amen. And above all else, read carefully, meditate on the word that was received, and most importantly, be led by the Holy Spirit. This is a fast of seclusion, to be alone with the Lord. And my own note here, for those of on our UBM e-list and for local UBM, this fast began Monday morning on the 26th of February and ends Monday morning on the 5th of March. Monday the 5th is the 8th day of feasting and gladness. For those of you who missed it, you may start now. And locally, because this is a fast of seclusion, we're having no meetings nor a pot blessing that we normally have on Saturday, the first Saturday. And instead, the feast will be on Monday on the 5th of March. And again, you can start now and end when the seventh day comes, end of the seventh day comes, if you like. I think the Lord is asking us to do this. I think He's asking His bride to do this. Okay? And here's the word. Eve says, dear brethren, please do not make the mistake of taking this word lightly. As Denny was reading his scripture, that's in our morning prayer meeting, Psalm 149, 1 through 9, this Sunday morning in the meeting, the Holy Spirit came upon me and dropped this word below into my mind and heart. I was overwhelmed with the insistence and urgency of His Spirit as He spoke these things to me. I asked Father for a confirmation of this, and by faith at random opened my Bible to the concordance and placed my finger down on the words, I will praise Thee, in Psalm 9 and 1. This address is a mirror image of the verses Denny read in Psalm 149 this morning, and the psalm itself is a confirmation of the fast. This is the prophetic word spoken to me when Denny spoke. Hearken unto my voice, those of you who would live holy and sanctified before me. For I proclaim a fast unto every one of you. A week of mourning. weeping and lamentations. 3 for the good and 7 for the greater shall you fast unto me. You shall eat no food nor drink any drink for 7 days. Do not say within your hearts, I cannot, for this reason or upon this excuse. For what reason, what excuse will you give unto me? Am I not the Lord your God? Am I not your strength and your sustenance? Well, amen. You shall put away all your colorful clothing and your ornaments, and you shall not anoint yourselves. Put ye on the humble garments of fasting and lamentation. Close the door upon yourselves, and speak ye out of the dust unto me, in spirit and in truth, for the door is closing. Shut your mouths, all of you, and speak not one another with profane or idle speech. Cry unto me, and me alone, out of the dust of your humility. Hide yourselves until the indignation be overpast. For you, this body, and for the greater. There is sin. I will not suffer it in this place. Purify and cleanse yourselves of unrighteousness. Walk carefully before me, and fear, for I am in this place. Obey my word, lest you be cut off from among my holy people. And upon the morning of the 8th day, you shall arise and put off your garments of mourning and lamentation, and you shall anoint yourselves and put on your best and most colorful and joyous garments. It will be a day of feasting and gladness, and you shall gather yourselves together unto me with joyful dancing and singing. Yes, and we love to do that. Every one of you will dance before me with singing and shouts of praise unto my name. For I will cleanse the humble and refine this body. You will not have idols before your faces. My people will be delivered and free from uncleanness, and then shall you be delivered from your enemies. My own note here is that this prophecy has many spoken parallels to Purim. And in fact, Purim is in the middle of the fasting days around March 1st and 2nd. This is when God's people were passed over in judgment and their enemies destroyed. And when the Lord said, the door is closing, I believe it means for the enemies of God's people, who in many cases are falsely called God's people, to enter into a Passover judgment of things coming. And in some cases, a separation from the kingdom itself as a reprobation. So it's serious. Is it going to happen during this? I don't know. But this is definitely a sign of it, and it is here. It is upon us. Here's words given by faith at random on the morning of this prophecy, in which Eve was in our midst and she received this prophecy. Here's Denny's word when Eve got the prophecy. Psalm 149, 1 through 9. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. And this is exactly what we've been doing in our morning meetings. And God has answered. I can say answered all of our prayers. Here's Eve's confirmation that she got. Psalm 9, 1 through 20. I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies turn back, they stumble and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging righteously. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. And he's been doing that, and we're headed still to the Red Sea. We're still going through this Red Sea draining of the swamp. And thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy are come to an end. They are desolate forever. There's your Red Sea. And the cities which thou hast overthrown, the very remembrance of them is perished. But the Lord sitteth as king forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to his peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a high tower for the oppressed, a high tower in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to God who dwelleth in Zion, to the Lord who dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings, for he that maketh inquisition for blood remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the poor. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Behold my affliction which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou hast lifted me up from the gates of death, that I may know, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, which is the bride. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The nations are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Yes, I can tell you on the governmental side that the deep state has laid a trap in which they will fall into themselves. And on the Christian side, the faction have laid a trap that they will fall into, but themselves. It's the same spirits in both. 16. The Lord hath made himself known. He hath executed judgment. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagion, Selah. The wicked shall be turned back into Sheol, even all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the expectation of the poor perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know themselves to be but men. Selah. How awesome. And then Father's promise, Isaiah 26, 1 through 21. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will he appoint for walls and bulwarks. Strong city, of course, is Zion, the bride, as John called it. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth faith may enter in. They will enter the bride. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The bride is a people of faith. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, even the Lord, is an everlasting rock. For he hath brought down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, I would say is Babylon. He layeth it low, he layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou that art upright dost direct the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. To thy name, even to thy memorial name, is the desire of our soul. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Yes, and they're about to learn the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal wrongfully, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. The Lord, thy hand is lifted up. That's what he did when he was keeping a battle going, right? Yet they see not. But they shall see thy zeal for the people, and be put to shame. Yea, fire shall devour thine adversaries. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also wrought all of our works for us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not arise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all remembrance of them to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou art enlarged, all the borders of the land. The Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery. And that's what's happening. It's near the time of her delivery. The man-child's ministry. Is in pain and crieth out in pain. So have we been before thee, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. That's the works of the soulless church. That's really done no deliverance for the earth. But that's going to change. Thy dead shall live, my dead body shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. And the earth shall cast forth the dead. And this also is a spiritual thing, as Paul spoke about in his text. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now, everything is going to be revealed. Nothing's hidden that won't be revealed. We know what the murderers have done, spiritual murderers and spiritual and physical murderers. We know what they've done. It's all going to be revealed. Now, as Father said in this prophecy given to Eve, a door is closing. Here is a confirming word that Eve received back on 2/19 of this year, 2018. A door is closing. I discerned something different. I don't know what it was, but it felt like something was over or ending or coming to a close. It's difficult to put my finger on it, but I'll try to explain. It was resolve, sadness, loneliness, disappointment, finality, like a door is closing, and those on the wrong side of it will not be able to go in or out of it any longer. And I believe that this is a reprobation of many, just as it was before Jesus, the man-child, started his ministry. Eve said, I saw it in David's eyes yesterday morning, like a vision. And all of it came flooding into my mind. They were the eyes of Jesus as he was closing a door. There was such sadness and loneliness and resolve, but pure righteous judgment. And it could be because the judgment will come through the man-child. Since I saw this as a vision when I looked at David, I didn't know if it was personal as well as prophetic. Well, of course, it's a sad thing to see these things coming. Very sad. So I wanted to pray for him, and I asked Father if I should fast and pray concerning all this for David and the vision, and got two heads for yes. You all might want to join in. Of course, she said that back in the 19th. And David here could represent the David Man-Child Ministry of Reformers that are about to be anointed. And these verses that we received by faith at random, we received them at that time. She received this prophecy the same morning. Amber got Esther 1:10-12. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagatha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that minister in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by the chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Yep, she had a spirit of Jezebel. Okay. And I believe this is speaking about the apostate church that was replaced by the bride Esther. And then Brandy got Hosea 9:5-9. What will you do in the day of solemn assembly, in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone away from destruction, yet Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them, their pleasant things of silver. Nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tents. The days of visitation are come, that is the Lord coming to do this judgment. The days of recompense are come, Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the man that hath the spirit is mad, for the abundance of thine iniquity, and because of the enmity is great. Ephraim was a watchman with my God, and as for the prophet, Ephraim represents the church of all nations, right? Was a watchman with my God, and for the prophet, a fowler snare is in his ways, and enmity is in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. There's the visitation. The Lord is coming to judge apostates. He is going to have fear again. He is going to be feared again. And I added to that text at that time, 14-16. And it's talking about them not bringing forth fruit, the fruit of Jesus. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. No fruit, right? All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them because of the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. In case you don't believe in once saved, always saved. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay the beloved fruit of their womb. Remember in the parable of the sower, the Lord sowed the seed in the womb of the heart to bring forth fruit, right? That's where the fruit of Jesus is supposed to be born. And of course, this is talking about a falling away of their spiritual man. I will slay the beloved fruit of their womb. And Merlin got Psalm 18 and 14 through 17. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them, yea, lightnings manifold, and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters, like those on the mountain, right? He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. By the way, Michael's two grandsons, Blake and Austin, dreamed of us all getting on a mountain as floodwaters rose over everything below us. Blake said he came up Sunshine Mountain, which is our mountain, and only two of us were missing as the mountain was circled by a flood. By the way, let me say that one of these missing was our brother Kurt Bryan, who was seen by one of us to represent Methuselah, which means when he dies, judgment cometh. He just recently died. You know, he didn't come to our meeting one time. He said he was bound up, and he didn't come to our meeting. And when the guys went home, they saw him. He was sitting on the couch, sitting there, pretty as you please, and he had gone home. Praise the Lord. And we had many dreams about this. He was a faithful man who spent much of his time listening to the Word. He had buds in his ears all the time listening to the Word of God. And we had dreams the Father was coming to take him to heaven, and it was so. And I believe he represents many dying in faithfulness before the judgment, just like Methuselah, right? When he dies, judgment cometh. And Austin said he blessed me with a dream that we were doves flying over the earth, and earth was flooded. It was with me, you, and that was Michael, and Blake flying in a triangle formation with you, that's Michael, leading us, and behind us was the fellowship, and we were going to a mountain. And of course, Blake's dream, the mountain was our Sunshine Mountain, which is the tallest mountain around. And then Eve got Isaiah 60 and 2 through 5 and then 14. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And in the text, this is speaking of Zion the bride. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Where are they going? To Zion. Then shalt thou see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The sea is the tribes and nations and peoples, right? The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. And verse 14, and the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So Father is about to bless the bride with gifts and bring down her enemies. And Kevin got this, Revelation 21 and 5. And he that sitteth on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he saith, write, these words are faithful and true. Now, I want to give you a confirmation or confirmations of this fast prophecy. I put these together on the 26th. Right? Others have told me of their confirmations of this fast. Deb Horton passed on to us that she was impressed for some time that she was going to start a fast Monday, which is when the Lord told us to start it, after she was impressed with this. Then she sent another confirmation. As I was driving around on errands last week and still fighting the Lord about starting a fast on Monday, a truck drove by that had Joshua 24 and 15 painted on the rear window. I took it as a word for me and wrote it down, but forgot about it. By Sunday, I had pretty much resigned myself to starting a fast before I received the UBM email about fasting on Monday. In case you're not on our e-list, you can go to the front of our site and get on it. We send out regularly, once a week, I would say, normally once a week, so it's not going to bother you much. Then this morning, I remembered the scripture verse and just now looked it up. Joshua 24 and 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, humble yourself to this prophecy. Right. And then Chris Garber wrote, I heard two things on Saturday before Eve's word on Sunday to fast Monday. Number one, go big or go home. Yep, that was the word. And as you can see, this phrase is in the body of the text Eve sent to. It's big, y'all. And number two thing he received is words written in red. As in Bibles with Jesus' words in red, is what we need to hear, know, and obey. Amen. And here's the word out of Eve's prophecy. Eve's word on Sunday, to go big or go home. A week of fasting, three for the good, seven for the greater, and on the eighth there shall be feasting and gladness. And that was on February the 25th, 2018. She went on to say, this is a fast primarily of seclusion and going to a deeper and higher place in the Lord. And then she said later, the purpose of this fast is to exercise yourself to focus solely on the Lord and have no care for the flesh. And to, quote, go big or go home, unquote. In the area of your faith. This is a fast of seclusion alone with the Lord. Okay, we won't go over any more of that. Here's Matthew Stewart's dream of gifts for the bride, which I believe are going to come after this. And that was given to him on the 28th, which is today. In this dream, I was waiting for a package to arrive in the mail. And I knew it was here. And I walked up to the mailbox, and it was normal size. I opened it up, and then it was a huge mailbox. It was 2 feet wide and 3 feet tall, and I don't know how deep it was, but pretty deep. And in the mailbox was a huge package. It took up almost all the room in the mailbox. I had trouble getting it out of the mailbox, but I eventually got it out. And that is all I remember about the dream. I felt the package is the gifts and blessings we are all going to get after the fast that the Lord is sending us. Okay. And I remembered this set of dreams that night, and the fact that the beginning was a time in winter, which represents death, when things were turned around for the bride and the church. It was dull clothing to bright and festive clothing, just like our fast instructions, and hopefully a representation of our works to come. The time was Purim, when death turned to celebration, just as our fast instructs. The enemies were conquered, and it was right in the middle of our fast around March 1st and 2nd this year, 2018. The dreams proceeded to spring, when the bride was joined to the man-child, and then the wilderness tribulation began. So I'll try to share this. I don't know if I'll get through it, all of it, but almost all of what is written in this dream was written in the middle of January, and Eve wasn't thinking about this when she got the word she gave us of the fast. I don't know for sure if this winter event will happen on these days, but people are dying from a plague, and Purim is a type of Passover for the righteous. So I believe it could be many things that are coming. Do your best to obey the instructions given for this fast. The bride is being chosen, and she loves the groom, which is proven by her obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Pray for yourselves and one another, and then the larger church body. Okay, this is we call this death in winter, bride's heavenly provision in spring. And Eve had this on 118. Of course, it's several around that time period. And just an update note on 226. Remember in Eve's dream, the bride typed by Eve was graduating early from persecution and crucifixion under her Babylonish mom? Okay, just keep that in mind. Eve said, I would think early is in winter, as in Eve's dream, which fits Purim pretty good. No, excuse me, that's my notes, excuse me. I would think early is in winter, as Eve's dream, which fits Purim pretty good, which is around March 1st and 2nd. This is before the Passover plague in the spring, before the wilderness tribulation. And also Eve and Taombi both got this verse on 9:23:17, when planet X passed by at the foot of Virgo. Esther 9:19-22. Therefore do the Jews of the villages that dwell in the unwalled towns make the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. And so it will be as the death of the old Haman and his wicked people who were over the bride, an early graduation. And look at the provision in this verse, which was in her dream below. Verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews had rest from their enemies, and a month which was turned unto them from sorrow to gladness, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, quoting from the prophecy, and sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Yes, the day of feasting when the enemies were conquered, right? Now, here's this dream of Eve on 117. She said, I asked the Father if he would give me a verse for timing last night, and my finger was on Mordecai. Mordecai, of course, is little man, means little man, and he represents the man-child in the Esther story. And that was in Esther 9:3. I didn't think it was an answer, but just now I was studying the context of this verse in which the month Adar is mentioned in verse 1. So she was asking for a confirmation of this thing. And my thought is that on Adar the 14th, the Jews took out their enemies who planned to take them out. And Adar is February, March. The 14th of Adar is 5778, March 1st and 2nd, 2018. Purim. This would be winter in the time of the plague deaths. However, Passover, just after the 28th, is a plague too. Plagues can be plagues or other kinds of judgments, as were the plagues in Egypt, if you noticed. Okay, so let's read her text, Esther 9, 1 through 4. Now in the 12th month, which is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near, which was the next day, to be put into execution. This is Purim, Adar 14, March 1st and 2nd, 2018, a time of death, spiritual or physical, of those who were enemies of God's people, and it was in winter. This is a sign, I feel, of what is about to come. On the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them, whereas it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. Now we know who those are. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them was fallen upon all the peoples. And all the princes of the provinces, and the satraps, and the governors, and they that did the king's business, helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai was fallen upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And then she had a note, wonder if my dream of quote, are you ready for March the 28th, unquote, has anything to do with it. Well, I don't know, but it seems very close to the time of Passover. March 28th is in the spring, just before the plague and Passover, 30 and 31. This year, spring will take place between March 20th and June 21st, if you use the astronomical method, but it starts slightly earlier, between March 1st and May 31st, if you follow the meteorological calendar. Spring is the time of the bride moving to David's house. Then on the 28th, in the dream below, which I'm going to share with you, the church comes under Eve as a type of the bride's wings, just in time for the Passover on the 30th and the 31st. Interesting. Now, a guy can do something on these dates if he wants to. If he doesn't, it's a sign. It's definitely a sign you can see. Remember Moses on a John Deere tractor and the bride in a wagon going into the wilderness in the spring after the Passover and then going to the Red Sea. Remember that dream Eve had, okay? So here's the dream about the 28th. The 28th dream. She then handed me the piece of the dream, I should say, a part of it. She then handed me a piece of cardboard. I took it in my right hand. I'm naturally left-handed. I held it up towards the light to my right. She had written the Roman numerals 28 on it. As I was doing this, a voice from behind me and up to my right resonated through my being, asking, quote, are you ready for March 28th, unquote. I answered, yes. And after this, the Pakistani woman turned into a child and came around and took shelter under my right arm, which became a wing with white feathers. That sounds like Psalm 91, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And the Passover is around March 30, 31st. Psalm 91 is under the shadow of thy wings. And the Pakistani woman are those who are foreigners in nature, who are in the church, but ignorant and need the Psalm 91 Passover covering. You remember Esther was overcoming for Haman, and the church out there didn't know anything about what was going on. So she got authority for them. Okay? And this is when the dream ended. Well, Eve had this dream on 10-10-10. The very next March 28th was a significant day. March 28th in Roman numerals represents the day the Catholic Church, meaning universal church, attempted with the Roman beast government to force the Jews, also representing the Christians, on threat of death into their one world order religion. And by the way, that's kind of what the faction has been doing, forcing them on threat of death. Yeah. This attempt was thwarted by God using an earthquake on what is now, the year of this dream was 10-10-10, March the 28th. And we are not saying anything will happen on March the 28th, however it could this year. But the parallel as symbolism is unmistakable. Could the future attempt at the covenant with many bring a terrible earthquake to America? Could something like this be a demonstration for the apostate church's sake? And all this was written back then, way back then. Because of this and more to come, those who have been given discernment among them may come under the authority and protection of the bride, just like it was with Esther, right? As in the dream above, when Haman, as the Antichrist beast, got an edict to destroy the Jews, it was Mordecai, the man-child, and Esther, the bride, who were used to save them. Yes. And here's a revelation from Eve on 1 January the 13th, 2018. I dreamed that I was playing over at David's house with all the other local UBMers. We were all children of different ages. In the dream, I knew I was 9 years old. I had a child's innocence, but I possessed my current adult mind. David's house was all brick with a cement foundation, and it sat on top of a small hill. All my brethren were playing hide and seek inside the house. But I was outside by myself because a factious person had been being mean to me. Of course, she's representing the bride here. I was walking around the house looking at the dry, dead grass of winter. Wintertime is for death to the flesh, right? All flesh is as grass that withereth, you know, Peter said. There was a large wooden swing set in David's front yard, so I decided to swing on it. The swinging back and forth represents the bride's cycle with the factious, which is a crucifixion. I ended up swinging so high on it that it tipped over, and I jumped out of the swing, clear of the swing, before I got hurt. This part of the dream, she said, reminded me of the other dream where I was driving my husband's old truck that he had totaled, and it overturned on my way from my house to David's house. But I was translated out of it before I got hurt. So I asked Father if it had the same meaning and got two heads for yes. In this dream, I understood at some point that the factious person had died. Notice the timing is winter, as when in Eve's dream recently the snow fell and turned to coral snakes that fell on the wicked. And death here could be spiritual or physical or both. It depends on who it is, right? And I got this confirmation that in the dream it was when the swing set overturned. So I asked Father for a word concerning him and what was in his heart, in my heart concerning him, because I'm bothered by all these dreams I'm having of him dying. And I wanted to know if there was any evil in my heart towards him. And my finger was on, there is no remembrance of the former. That was in Ecclesiastes 1:11, which is the same number as the neighbor's duplex, which I'm going to share with you. And it's the gematria number for the birth of the man-child ministry. 1:1:1. And verse 11 says, there is no remembrance of the former generations, neither shall there be any remembrance of the latter generations that are to come among those that shall come after. I was worried that David would be angry with me for swinging too high. There was a large picture window in the front of the house overlooking the front yard and the swing set, as well as some acres of land that David owned across the way from the house further down the hill. I knew that his office was in that room with the picture window, so I went up to the window to see if David was in the office. Some of y'all might remember this, I don't know. And when I peeked in through the window, I saw a large, highly polished cherry wood desk, which is famous for being in the president's office. And Eve also had this in one of her dreams. With David's laptop opened facing the window, there was a file opened on the screen, and my eyes were given telescopic abilities as I was able to read the file up close and operate the mouse with my will, as if I were sitting there at the desk. You can do these kind of things in dreams. And as I read the file, I realized that it was a file on me, representing the bride. He had been recording all the events of my life, as the David Manchild has been doing with all these years, you know. The Manchilds, David and Moses, looked after the sheep before they were anointed to deliver the larger body of sheep, right? So the Manchilds are here, folks. The anointing is what we're waiting on. The birth of the Manchild ministry is what we're waiting on. There were so many love letters that he had written to me in the file. That reminds us of the words of John, which I believe are coming quickly to be manifested. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. I had never realized how much he loved me and took notice of what my life had been and all the events of it. I became so happy when I understood how much he loved me and that he wasn't angry with me for anything. And of course, this is true of the man-child Davids. They love the bride. They're going to lead the bride just as Jesus, in that first body of the Son of David, led the bride. He that hath the bride is bridegroom. This time it will be a large body worldwide leading the bride. So I felt it was okay to go in and tell him that I had swung too high on the swing set, and I went around and entered the house through the garage. I heard the squeals and laughter of other UBMers playing hide-and-seek and chasing each other to base as I came inside. Base, of course, was a place of safety from the enemy in that game, if you remember. I went over to David's office door looking for him and peeked inside to see if he was at his desk, but he wasn't in the office, so I walked out into the narrow hallway and found him there. Okay, walking the narrow way, right? He seemed so tall to me, being the size of a 9-year-old, I came up to his mid-waist. Of course, this is speaking about the man-child ministry, who is very mature in the Lord. And all this reminds me of the Song of Solomon story, doesn't it, you? I told him what had happened to the swing set, which I believe represents the past cycles of life crashing, you know, and that I was sorry it tipped over. He said, oh, don't worry, I can fix that. I was amazed at how easy he made it sound, because to me it was too heavy to fix. And then he said, come on, Eve, I want to show you something. And when I followed him outside into the garage, it was so sunny and green outside. And I believe the fix comes in spring. It wasn't winter any longer. The sky was really blue. The land David owned across the way was beautifully manicured, like a golf course, our spiritual promised land. David walked me over to a brand new duplex that he had built for me on the land. At this point in the dream, I was an adult. He took me to the side that had the number 110 on the door. It looks like 110 has to do with foundation. And this is the foundation for the temple of God. He said, "This was built for you." I then looked over to the other door, to the other side of the duplex, and the number on that door was 111. That's the number of the birth of the man-child ministry. And, of course, if you get this page on our site, you can read it, and there's a link there that shows you place after place after place of this number of the birth of the man-child ministry. And I said to myself, I can't wait to meet my neighbor. Well, okay, I'm going to give you a lot more here, but you're going to have to go to the text on the site to read it, okay? So we've run out of time. Well, Father, we thank you for this. We bless this in the hearts and minds of the people, and we ask that all the people who are listening are blessed and understanding and so on. All right, saints, God bless you. Good night.